Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 10. Cell phone service doesn't exist at Side R. There is a secure hardwired system that was first built in the 1950s and modernized with fiber optic cable. The disadvantage to this system is that once a person stands up from his desk, he cannot be reached. He can be paged, but the system is rarely used due to the number of people in the Side R complex. A method of checking in at the nearest extension is utilized so that people can be connected if they need to be. Smith dialed Hadid's quarters. The phone answered, but it was silent on the other end. Hadid never answered the phone with his voice. He just expected that the caller would announce themselves first. "Smith here," he said. "Yes, Agent Smith," said Hadid. "The Camp David entrance is not secure. We have been breached. We don't know how long it's been open," said Smith. "I'm securing POTUS now," said Hadid, and he hung up the phone. "Smith," said Agent Smith into his phone as it rung again. "Put him through." "This is Dick. I'm at the hospital. Katie's been shot," said Dick. "Where?" asked Smith. "In the shoulder. From behind. She's in surgery now, getting the bullet removed," said Dick. "I mean, where did the shooting take place?" asked Smith. "By the Camp David entrance. Kyle is there, right?" asked Dick. "Just left before you called and said you were out there. He told us about the door, but he didn't mention this," said Smith, trying to drill into the facts of the event. "Kyle and Donna were with us. We took two carts and we went for a late-night drive. The door was open. I mean, it was unlocked. Katie and I rode out to the trailer complex to get help. I sent Kyle and Donna back to get help," said Dick with a nervous voice. "Who shot her?" asked Smith. "One of the soldiers shot her as we tried to escape back into the tunnel. They tried to run us over with a big Humvee," said Dick. "You stay there. I'll catch up with Kyle and tell him to come to you. I have some work to do," said Smith. "Go get him, Smith," said Dick, and with that Smith ended the phone call. Smith knew the sequence of events. Riker would be moved immediately to the vault. There would be roll call. There would be a sweep of the entire facility to look for intruders. From that point, there were no protocols. Normally, everyone else is expendable. But this was a closed system with essential personnel only. He picked up his phone and dialed again. "Jones," came the answer after the first ring. "Smith, we have an intruder." "When was the last perimeter patrol?" asked Smith. "Hold on," said Jones, accessing his computer. "I'm showing all green as of 0-100. "All entrances?" asked Smith. "Shit. No. A through D only," he said. "When was the last time the Camp David entrance was checked?" asked Smith. "That's a special route, like the ventilation system and water treatment plants." "Friday, 3 days ago," said Jones. "I want a team and dogs to that door right now," said Smith. "There's a team outside. They can be there in 5 minutes," said Jones. "No good. They attacked Dick and Katie and shot her in the back," said Smith. "No way. That's Captain Lyle, former intelligence guy," said Jones. "Dick witnessed the shooting," said Smith. "Checkmate. I'm sending a team now. Bye," said Jones as he hung up the phone. Agent Smith rubbed his forehead with his hand and tried to get his tactical mind in gear. He dialed his home number. "Hello?" came the slurred female voice at the other end. "Good morning, Sunshine. I need you," said Smith. "Aw, I need you too," said Bet, slightly more coherent. "I need you to wake up and listen to me. We've had a breach. Camp David door. Kyle and Donna are together. I need you to find them," said Smith. "Why? What's up?" asked Bet, much sharper now. "They got separated from Dick and Katie out on a joyride, and Katie was shot," said Smith. "What the hell? Jesus H. Christ, Smith! What happened?" asked Bet. "I don't have all the details, but she was shot on the outside and is in surgery right now. Kyle and Donna don't know. Find them, and call me when you get to the hospital and know something," said Smith. "I gotta go." Bet dialed Loretta Wesson's number. "I know it's early, but you need to know. Smith says we have bad guys in the building. Can you make sure the team is safe? She asked. I'll call Rhino and Lisa. Do you really want me to call Shelley? Asked Loretta. Yeah, you do that, and I will call you from the hospital, said Bet, wincing that she didn't think it through. Hospital? Why? What the hell's going on, Bet? Asked Loretta, now sharp and awake. Oh, wow. Dick and Katie were on the outside. One of the doors was open. Not good. Katie was shot, but she's going to be okay, said Bet, trying to walk it back to a point of sanity. What do you mean she's been shot? She's pregnant, Bet, said Loretta. Why am I always the last to know? Asked Bet, trying to recover the situation. Look, you just get Rhino and Lisa safe, and I will call you in 20 minutes. Safe where? If there are bad guys inside, where do we go to make sure we're safe? Asked Loretta. Just get them to your office, and I'll find out from Smith where to go. 20 minutes, said Bet, hanging up the phone. Bet slid her legs into her loose-fitting jeans and into her United sneakers. She buttoned the fly and leaned over to tie the shoes snugly around her feet. She pulled open the top drawer and snapped one of Michael's T-shirts in the air. She slipped it over her head and arms and dragged her hairbrush back away from her eyebrows a few times and laid it down while looking in the mirror. She stepped toward the bedroom door and stopped in a moment of decision. Say hello to my little friend, she said, opening the drawer and grabbing the pistol under the socks inside. She dropped the clip into her palm to check to see if it was loaded and sneaked the slide back to check the chamber. Locked and loaded, she said into the mirror as she jammed the gun between her pants behind her back and leaped through the doorway through the living room. Within a few steps, she was down the hall to the elevator. Her mind was racing now. Morning Bird. No, Morning Glory, that's it. Shit, what's the response? Oh, yeah, I remember. Pancake batter, she said under her breath. Each Monday, the residents of each building get a greeting phrase and a response. If the other person forgets or doesn't know the response, they can be arrested, unless you know them personally. Smith said it was a way to keep assassins out of the Afghan police training camps. She was jogging now. Kyle and Donna had probably been up all night and were somewhere where they could rendezvous with Dick and Katie. It was a short distance to Building A. It was straight up 6 in the morning. They wouldn't go home, not if they got separated. Besides, Lorraine had a coffee ritual. She pulled the glass doors open only to be confronted by 2 MPs. Sorry, ma'am, the building is secure, said the first soldier. Morning Glory, she said to him. Yeah, pancake batter, but you still can't come through. How am I supposed to get breakfast? She asked, building her masculine energy. That's at 0700. We are going through the building from top to bottom. Nobody goes in until they're done, said the second soldier. I have friends up there in that cafeteria, and it's important that I get to them, said Bet, stepping back and spreading her feet apart. Really? You want to do this? Said the first soldier, unsnapping his sidearm. Okay, Tex. I got it. Mind if I use the phone in the wall right there? Asked Bet, holding her hand out like she had a foul called on her. Don't see no harm in that, said the second soldier, pointing toward the brown phone hanging on the wall by the entrance door. Bet dialed the cafeteria from the directory laminated next to the phone. Good morning, Chef Bailey here. What can I do for you this bright and sunny day? Asked the cheerful voice of Chef Bailey. You're killing me, she said. Oh, good morning, Bet, said the chef. Is Kyle there? She asked. They were. They just left. Lorraine got a call and then left a perfectly warm biscuit and some smoked bacon after only one bite, he said. How long ago? Asked Bet. Oh, less than a minute, I think, said the chef. Okay. Thanks, Chef, and good morning to you, too. Bye for now, said Bet as nice as she could. She turned around as she hung up the phone and looked across the lobby to the elevators just as the doors opened. Lorraine, Kyle, and Donna emerged at a fast shuffle. She waved to them as she did not want to yell across the lobby. Bet, I'm so glad you're here, said Lorraine, extending her hand to her. You've heard, then, said Bet. Yes. The president just called me. "We're on the way to the hospital," said Lorraine. "Let's go. Smith knows we'll be there," said Bet. "We were out there together," said Kyle, trying to keep it together. "The door was open," said Donna. "Yes, the president is being secured as we speak," said Lorraine. "Where's Rhino?" asked Kyle. "He's on his way to meet us there," said Bet, as the four of them jogged past the two-seater cart plugged in at the curb and headed for Building C. "I knew there was a reason I wore my running shoes today," said Lorraine, beginning to breathe harder. "She's just got to be okay," said Kyle. "She's in some pain, but I get the feeling she's going to recover just fine," said Lorraine. "Smith to Tumbleweed," he said into the radio. "Tumbleweed, go," came the response. "Report," said Smith. "Sir, we have arrived in the tunnel. There's a cart in the way. We can't get our team past it, so we are towing it to the main road. It has some charge left, but this will take a few minutes. I left some troops there to hold that position," said the patrol leader. "Carry on. Let me know when you reach the door," said Smith as he keyed off the radio. He changed channels to reach the team leader canvassing the buildings. "Eagle One to Bloodhound." "Bloodhound here," said the team leader over the radio. "Report, please," said Smith. "Water treatment plant secure. Air treatment plant secure. Buildings A through C secure. Nothing yet," came the voice. "Roger that," said Smith, changing channels again. "Jones, you up?" said Smith into the radio. "Jones here. You at the hospital yet?" "Roger." "Call me when Kyle gets there," said Smith. "Will do," said Jones. "Tumbleweed to Eagle. We're rolling," scratched the radio. "I need intel on the door," said Smith. "Roger," said the team leader. "I need to know why they left it open," said Smith. "Say again?" said the team leader after a short pause. "I need to know how they opened it. I need to know if anyone came down that tunnel. Any sign anyone or anything came down that tunnel," said Smith. "Roger that, Eagle. Hold for report," said the team leader. "Bloodhound to Eagle. Building D secure. I'll meet you at the top of Building E. Leave two at each building," said Smith. "Already done, Eagle. We have every floor secured. We're coming up." "Roger that," said Smith as he checked his gun one more time. He walked toward the communications room and opened the doors. Within a few keystrokes, he had the screen sectioned off to reveal the video feeds from the miniature drones his Bloodhound team had placed throughout the buildings and plants they had so efficiently patrolled for intruders. He looked at the screens and pulled up the surveillance videos from the main roads. He accessed the one for the president's tunnel, but the access was blocked with a bright red square requiring a numerical code. He picked up the phone and dialed the secure line to the vault. The phone rang once and went quiet. "Smith here," he said. "Go ahead," said Hadid, standing next to the desk behind the blast door of the president's vault. "I need the code for the camera in the president's tunnel," said Smith. "There's a roll of black tape in the center drawer of that desk," said Hadid. Smith opened the drawer and grabbed the roll of black tape. He started the tape with his thumbnail and gripped the roll with his left hand against his hip. He tightened his lips a little to check the pain from using his left arm. Stuck to the tape were three narrow slips of paper with 9-digit numbers on them. "Got 'em," said Smith. "The tunnel is the third one. The other two are the elevator and the vault door. And Smith," said Hadid, "one mistake and it locks out. Make sure before you hit enter," said Hadid. "Clever," said Smith. "Stay alive," said Hadid. "No other plans," said Smith as he ended the call. He peeled a small piece of paper from the tape and keyed in the numbers to the surveillance feed and hit enter. The red square disappeared, and the timeline flashed along the bottom. He dragged the cursor back and began doubling the timescale. He stared at the feed while it sampled through the motionless image of the space in front of the parking garage. Nothing. Not a shadow or a light passed across the screen. He switched the screen to infrared and ran it again. "Hello," he said to the screen as he paused the display. He paged through the screens 10 seconds at a time. "What the..." he said to the screen as he reduced the view to 1 second screenshots. One by one he moved through the segment of time. There, right at the top of the screen, was a streak of white. A small heat signature, no more than 1 inch wide, could be seen. He took the mouse and pulled a box over the small streak and hit F4. The screen expanded to reveal a tiny drone, no more than a foot from the ceiling of the tunnel. Shit, he spat. He grabbed the radio and switched to the tunnel's team. Eagle, to Tumbleweed. Tumbleweed, go ahead, Eagle. I got a beetle drone on the surveillance, said Smith. That's why they left the door open, sir, said the team leader. Secure the door. Be aware that the exterior team may have been compromised, said Smith. Roger that. Set a jammer, said Smith. Roger that. No, wait, belay that. Secure the door and wait for orders, said Smith. Roger that, Eagle. Smith picked up the phone and called the hospital. Medical nurse Estrada here, came the female voice. Agent Smith here. I need to speak to Agent Jones, said Smith. Yes, sir. I'll transfer you to the recovery lobby phone. Hold, said the nurse. The phone rang twice and a female voice answered the phone. Hello? Bet. Oh, good. This is Mike, said Smith. Oh, my God, Mike. What's going on, said Bet. I'll explain everything. I need Jones, said Smith. Hang on, she said, as she extended her arm with the phone toward Jones. Jones here, he said. Smith, I need you to send Kyle to Building E Comm Room. I need him now, said Smith. Alone? Asked Jones. You can send Rhino with him. And Jones? Said Smith. Yeah, said Jones. There's a beetle drone, said Smith. Jesus, it could be anywhere down here, said Jones. Okay, what's going on, Smith? Asked Bet softly as she took the phone back from Jones. Hey, baby, we have a hostile in here with us, said Smith. How many? Who are they? Asked Bet with more energy on her voice. Not who, what. There's at least one beetle drone, said Smith. What's a beetle drone? Asked Bet. It's a small drone that flies with flapping wings. They're quiet, fast, and they can park somewhere for days and wait, said Smith. Wait for what? Asked Bet, fearing the answer. They can transmit video and act on real-time orders, said Smith. What do you mean, act? Asked Bet. Don't freak out. We use them as assassins. They can carry small explosives, like a tiny flying grenade, said Smith. Anyone on pest control duty? Asked Bet with a surprisingly calm voice. Pest control from hell, said Smith. Tumbleweed calling Eagle, squeaked the radio with a barely audible signal. I gotta go. And with that, the phone call ended. Eagle, go ahead, said Smith. We're at the door. There are only a few footprints. No boots. The door was pulsed hard. Circuits are fried. I have two scouts outside checking on the station trailers, said the leader. Roger. We need bug zappers in that tunnel, said Smith. Roger that. They're on the way already, said the leader. And close that door. That way they can't see, said Smith. We're on it. As soon as my team comes back, we'll update, said the team leader. Smith out. He sat down in the rolling chair in front of the communications console. He reached up and rubbed his aching left shoulder with his right hand. He spun the chair around and stared at the bullet holes still in the door from the assault General Cabarrus had led against them. He tried to remember the moments leading up to him taking the bullet for Bet, but there was nothing. 1 second his ears were ringing from the blasts from the General's gun in that hallway, and the next he woke up in recovery. He remembered sitting in the wheelchair that morning, waiting for Bet to come out of the trailer quarters. They were both fighters, but when she came around that corner wearing that dress, his whole world went into slow motion. His heart would never be the same. Now, there was a nearly silent killer drone loose inside their underground city. He had used them in Afghanistan to follow bad guys for days, and then dive in and explode to kill playing card villains. He remembered those pain-in-the-ass held screens. Shit, he spat, sitting up quickly. It took a few seconds to put his thoughts in order. He wanted to call someone, but he realized he did not have the resources he could trust. He knew Riker was safe in the vault, but he also could not manage the world from there, not without physical contact with his team. "Hey, Agent Smith," said Kyle as he walked into the communications room. "Good morning, Agent Smith," came the deep voice of Rhino as he ducked under the door header and entered right behind Kyle. "I have some information. First, the bad news. Katie has been shot. She's alive at the hospital, and that's all I know for now. Now, there's worse news. Somewhere inside our sanctuary here is a beetle drone, at least one of them. We need to find it and destroy it," said Smith. "Okay, go back for a second. Where was Katie shot?" asked Kyle, as the corner of his eyes began to quiver. "In the top of the shoulder from behind, somewhere out by the Camp David entrance. That's all I know," said Smith. "She's going to live," said Kyle, like it wasn't a question. "Hell yes, she's going to live. She's in good hands. Now I need you to think for a second about the drone," said Smith, stepping forward to face Kyle. "Like this big?" said Kyle, holding his finger and thumb about an inch apart. "About? Yes," said Smith. "Why can't we just swat it?" asked Rhino. "It's not that easy," said Kyle. "I gather it's black and flies kind of slow." "They are black, but they fly with polyester wings, very quiet. They're meant to send back video and explode on command," said Smith. "Who's driving it?" asked Kyle. "We don't know. But we close the outside vault door. They can't see it or control it from out there as long as the door is closed," said Smith. "You assume the driver is not down here with us," said Kyle. "I knew there was a reason why I wanted to see you," said Smith. "What frequency range does it use to communicate?" asked Kyle. "It's the old pager frequencies, 88 megahertz or something like that," said Smith. "That's just below the FM band. I can set up some antenna to see if it's talking to someone," said Kyle. "That's a start. But these things have an autonomous feature. They have face recognition software, and they can sit there for days, weeks, waiting on the target to walk by. When it does, the beetle flies in close and quiet from behind and does its job," said Smith. "Sounds like the voice of experience," said Kyle. "Sorry," said Smith. "So the little bastard stays silent until it sees its prey, and then it acts like a tiny IED," said Kyle. "Basically," said Smith, worried about the strange calm that Kyle was expressing.
"You thinking what I'm thinking you're thinking?" asked Rhino.
"Yep," said Kyle.
"What does that mean?" asked Smith.
"It wants a face. We give it a face. Single-lens cameras can't resolve 3D images anyway," said Kyle, pulling up an image of Riker on the screen with a terminal on the counter.
Wait, what are you saying?" asked Smith.
"Get the print shop to print a couple of hundred of these face shots of Riker and put them up around the place, preferably with the granite walls as backdrop. The little beggar sees the picture, kicks into automatic, and splat, it self-destructs. No problem," said Kyle.
"You just foiled a $1 million micro drone with a 10-cent picture," said Smith with a tone of disbelief.
"Simplicity is the crown of genius," said Kyle.
"Complexity, the cloak of mediocrity," added Rhino.
"And what if there is a driver down here with us?" asked Smith.
"Last time I checked, no one down here was wearing a pager. We could feed a GPS signal in that band for somewhere in Texas," said Kyle, tapping the keyboard on the counter.
"You to man, Kyle. That bug will bounce off the granite walls until it runs out of charge trying to fly to Texas," said Rhino, poking his finger into his other palm like a bee trying to fly through a window.
"Okay, I'm on it," said Smith.
"Anywhere. We're leaving now," said Kyle.
"I know. The hospital," said Smith.
"See you there?" asked Kyle.
"Not today. I'm focused on adding someone to the bed count, said Smith, and he walked out of the communications room without looking back. Buy you lunch? Asked Kyle. I can't believe you're still awake after last night's joyride.
Yeah, I could eat, said Rhino.
Caffeine is a food, said Kyle. Samoan soldiers used to stay awake for days chewing on coffee beans, said Rhino.
Last time I checked, it was one of the four basic food groups, said Kyle.
You mean like grains and stuff like that? Asked Rhino, knowing there was a punchline coming.
Pizza, tacos, caffeine, and any form of potato, said Kyle, counting off his fingers while he pushed the door open with his back.
Everything a body needs, said Rhino, showing off his enormous bicep.
Last one to the elevator is a counterweight, said Kyle, sliding out the door.